Okay. Today we begin class, I think, 23. Last week, at the end of the class, we began a new topic of the brachas on fragrances. The brachas on fragrances. And we gave some general rules for that, which we're not going to repeat. Okay, if you weren't here last week, listen to last week's class. And we said there's four different brachas that are made. And we did the first one, what we called it, type one fragrant woods, where things have a bark, they grow with a bark. It has a height of at least 10 inches. And it normally produces leaves directly from the stem, trunk, or branches, not from the fruit of the flowers. And we said that's like roses, carnations, things like that. If they really have a strong smell, which we underscored that point, and the bracha was Bore Atse Vissamim. Hashem creates the Atse, the trees, Vissamim, that are fragrant. So that was that bracha. That's where we ended. So now we continue with the second category of fragrances. And they're called fragrant plants. So now we're talking about a plant that grows low on the ground. That gets a different bracha. It ends off Bore Isve. Isve means the grasses of that Visamim that are fragrant. Fragrant grasses. This one's very hard to find one nowadays that is such. The only one that I can find is mint. Mint leaves. I think that's pretty common. Mint.
Lavender. Right?
Lavender, I think we said, was the other one.
Oh, it was.
Was the other one. Okay. Right? So mint leaves, real mint, not artificial mint, that you'd make the bracha Bore Isve Besamim. So you have to just know the words, you always have the word Bore and Visamim. The only word that changes is that middle word. So it's from a tree. A tree is an eight, so it's atse. If it's from, it's a grass, herbal type of thing, it's isve, visamim. So that would go on mint. Okay, bracha for that. Number three, this is less common, fragrant fruits. Now, first of all, you got to know, fruits nowadays don't emit the strong smell they used to, olden days. Part of destruction of Beis Hamikdash and things like that. The whole world is falling apart. So fruits normally don't give the kind of smell they used to give. Vegetables, strong smells. So normally you wouldn't need a bracha. But if you have the following three conditions, you could make the bracha. And again, it's not that common, but I just want you to know about it. Number one, the smell has to be strong and enjoyable. So let's say like a bushel of apples could possibly, wow, that's a big smell, right? It's not common. I don't know, you do more shopping than I do. If you ever find that that's a bunch of fruits are giving us a big smell, that's condition one. Number two, it's primarily consumed as food and not a spice. And number three, you pick it up for the purpose of smelling it rather than just simply eating it. So let's say you just want to eat an orange, and orange happens to have a nice smell, but you really didn't pick it up to smell it, you picked it up to eat it. So that wouldn't count either. So it's going to be rare that you're picking it up because you really want to enjoy the smell. It's got a real enjoyable smell, and it's primarily consumed as food. So you figure out if there's anything that fits that category. I don't.
But you just want to smell, not eat.
No, you can eat it, but you also really want to smell it. I don't know. I'm not saying not. I'm just leaving it to your senses. Some people have, better sense than others and are more, into smelling it. Other people, like a guy, will have trouble with this. A guy will just give me, let me eat it. That's it. And ladies might have a more sensitivity to, there's more than just the food. There's smelling it and this and that. So the bracha on that is a little bit of a trickier bracha. Bracha Shem Al-Khalam. Hanosein. Reach Tov, who places a nice smell, ba peros, in foods. That's the bracha. All right? Again, it's not a common bracha to be made. Okay? And so now, what if you also want to eat it too? So if you also want to eat it, first eat it with the intention of not benefiting from the smell, and then make a bracha on the fruit, and then you can make a bracha on the smell, and then give it a really good smell. So if you're guava, how do you eat guava? It's like you peel it, or no, you just eat it. Okay, they sell them in regular stores? Just, what?
Yeah, sometimes. Yeah, if it's in season.
If it's in season. Okay, anyway, so if this guava really has a strong smell?
Very.
Okay, so if you like, and you just eat it raw. Okay. Anyway, yeah, I'm learning something. Okay. So it's worth to buy it so you can make the bracha. So you take it and don't really try to smell it. Make a bracha bori pri eitz. You just take a bite and then, okay, now I'm going to give it a gezunta smell. Make the bracha hanosein reach to beferos and then give it a good smell like that. So that would be another opportunity. So you'll let us know when the guavas are in season. You'll send
because
a text.
I remembered exactly what you just said.
You what?
I'm not kidding, I'm playing. But, you know.
When are they in season? I have no idea. Where do they come from? I don't
know. Tropics.
Okay, yeah. Tropics. Okay. Yeah. Now, here's another one. Miscellaneous fragrances. Okay, what if you're enjoying a smell but you have no idea what category it fits into? As I'll explain a couple of it, or you're just not sure what the bracha is supposed to be made, and you know it smells great, but you just have no way of knowing exactly what to do. Then we have, like, we just like by shahako, by eating, the catch-all is bore mine v'samim. Again, it's not b'samim, it's people commonly error read it. It's mine v'samim. That's to do it properly. If you look in the sitter, there's no dot in the bays. So it's bore mine vitsamim. And things like that, cloves, cinnamon. Now we come to your coffee that you asked. Only hot roasted ground coffee, not coffee from the jar. That's not a strong enough of a smell, and it doesn't fit the criteria. So no bracha on just opening up a jar of instant coffee. You know, I ain't going to do it. But if it's like hot roasted ground coffee, okay, then that is, you'd make a bracha on that. Now, the reason, like, I'll just give an example. Cloves, right? There's a machlokes of what if the clove is considered a fruit, since it's used primarily for eating purposes, or a tree, since it's never eaten by itself. So since there's a doubt, we make the bracha bori mine v'samim. Same thing with cinnamon. Cinnamon, it's also a doubt. It's primarily used as a food, so many regard it as a fruit. Others contend it's not. So it's a debate. So again, many of these are debatable fruits or foods, whatever. So we make bore mine v'samim. Now, there's a wonderful book that came out many years ago called Reach HaSadeh, which goes through the whole topic of brachas on spices and fruits, and at the end gives you a table of kind of different types of fruits or smelling nice smelly things like that. So if you're still not sure, you can always email me and we can tell you what it is. But that's the general rule for these four brachas. Okay, now, yes, ma'am.
Before you eat, you are required to make a bracha.
Yes.
Is it the same thing before you smell?
Yes, that's what we've said. Yes, so we said that last week.
Every
if you plant, you don't have to smell it, but if you plan on smelling it, you have to make a bracha on it. There's no choice. You cannot benefit from God's world without making a bracha. So smelling it, although it's a more of a more subtle pleasure, it's not like eating, but it's still a pleasure. So if you really are enjoying that smell, you have to make a bracha before you enjoy that smell. Now, again, it depends if you want to enjoy that smell. If you don't want to enjoy the smell, again, you're walking into a spice shop, right? To buy, you know, there's, I guess they're these specialty shops, right? And you walk in, whoa, you know, you walk into a ladies' cosmetic section, right? You're blown away by the smell. And there's probably some expensive cosmetics over there. So then we said you'd make a bracha on the expensive cosmetics, if you recall, right?
But you have to have an intention, right?
But you have to have intent that I want to enjoy the smell. If you're not planning on enjoying the smell, you just, I'm busy shopping and I don't really care about the smell. You don't make the bracha. That's why we said when you're walking, going for your nice spring and fall, well, spring walks, and you know there's some very nice gardens, well, and you really are going to enjoy it and you want to enjoy it, then you would make the bracha on the predominant type of thing to smell. So if it's like mostly from the trees, it would be the atzei v'samim, right? If you're passing by a rose garden, there's many, and they give a wonderful smell, and you want to enjoy it, you make a bracha on that. Okay, that's clear? Now, that leaves us with Havdalah. So according to Ashkenazi tradition, we always and only make one bracha, borei mine v'samim, regardless of what you're smelling, even if it would take another bracha, but the liturgy for Havdalah requires borei mine v'samim, which catches them all. Svardim would do it differently, but we're not. There's no Svardim here. So, and if anyone's Svardi listening, you can email me the question. Okay? So we say the bracha borei mine v'samim, right? But ideally, you should pick something that would take a borei mine v'samim to begin with. That would be ideal. So therefore, what is therefore, which ones do we usually find as besamim are cloves? Because cloves take the borei mine v'samim even initially. If you don't have cloves, cinnamon is a very good borei mine. So when is this shaila ever a shaila? When you're on vacation, you know? You're on vacation, you're in a hotel, you're somewhere else, you didn't take your... Now, if you're a good traveler, you take your little frum kit with you, and you have a little box with your cup for Kiddush, and your candles, and your Havdalah candle, and this and that. But you know what happens. You're up in the cottage or somewhere, and it's, oh, it's Motzei Shabbos. What are we going to use for besamim? And you don't have your besamim box over there. So then you have to go to the the convenience store, right? That's, I don't know if this only happens with us, don't have with you. Go to the convenience store, Motzei Shabbos, to find something to make borei besamim. And, you know, so you're trying to find cloves. Not every convenience store has cloves. So then you try to find something else. So then you figure, okay, let's look what's... And you know, if you find cinnamon, like that's a good one as well. So anything that would fit that criteria, you can use as besamim for borei mine besamim. And if you're really stuck and, you know, there's some nice flowers nearby, so just pick a couple flowers that smell and then you make the bracha borei mine besamim on that. However, there's one thing you do have to be careful, and this happens over time, just like they tell you, you know, when they switch the clocks, you should, you know, do certain routine things, like check that the batteries in your fire alarms are working and all these things, routine. So you have to do the routine thing with your besamim, because what usually happens with besamim? You buy these fresh clothes 25 years ago, you put them in your box, and you smell it, because, you know, and then as time passes, burning the besamim, you know, we'll talk about more about making Havdalah. Then you make the bracha up. You know, you don't even think if you smelled anything. Think about it. You just, okay, I just put my nose at it. Okay, but you just made a bracha. There may be no smell in there. You know, those cloves, after a year or two, their potency is way down. Way down. And it's questionable if you make a bracha. Now, go try this on your own. Go buy cloves today, right? And, you know, when you make the bracha, it's not like that you go, that's a smell. The smell that goes in. You understand what I'm saying? It's not like just a little, you know, it's a good geschmacka smell, right? You're inhaling a lot of air, so you want to get a big smell. So take a fresh thing of cloves and open it up, and you go, wow! Now that's what you're really making a bracha on. When those cloves are a year old, you go... not that impressive. Really, you shouldn't make a bracha on it. It would be a bracha levatala, and it's very common that many bracha levatalas are made every Motzei Shabbos because it's the old faint smell. Or sometimes even you don't have any besamim in it at all, but the box gives the smell because it's been there for some years, and you can't make a bracha on smelling that secondary smell from the box. So therefore, all of you, when you go shopping today, make sure to buy a brand new thing of cloves or cinnamon or whatever, and use that. So then you'll really make a proper bracha, okay? As well, some have a custom, I didn't put it down, some have a custom, they take their hadassim after sukkahs, and they pick off the little leaves, and they put them in with the besamim as well. Although the hadassim, we said, take another bracha, right? Takes the other bracha of atzei besamim, because they come from a branch, right? The besamim itself, right?
But not on hadassim.
Well, some mix it in with the cloves, just to continue use a mitzvah for another thing. Sfardim are a little bit different, but Ashkenazim would do that. So that is this bracha. Okay, we're finished with smelling. Any questions on the bracha of smelling? We're good?
So if we wanted to smell our Esrog 2 days after Sukkot, we would be making...
So again, let's go back to the criteria now. You have to have three criteria. Do you plan on eating the Esrog?
No.
Right? So, it's primarily consumed as a food. Is Esrog primarily consumed as a food? Not in my country.
Right.
I know there's ladies who make a jam from it, but it's, most people don't. Most people just throw them out or let them. So it's a little bit tricky, and therefore we really are told, and there's a lot of shilas on this, and therefore the rabbis suggest that when you are holding an Esrog, not to smell it, especially on sukkahs, because you get involved in all kinds of halakha questions I don't have time to get into right now. You should not smell it. The smell may come to you, but you really shouldn't take an esrog and go, because it's a big shaila if you make a bracha, or even if you're allowed to smell it on sukkahs for all kinds of technical reasons. Better not to smell it at all, and after yontif not to smell it either. Because if you did after yontif, it's very questionable even if you make a bracha, because we generally do not eat esrogim. Okay, good. Now we come to another bracha. This is not a bracha on smell. This is a bracha on seeing, and this is called the springtime blossoms. How many of you are aware of that bracha? Okay, good for you. Let's hope you don't forget it by this April. There is a bracha. It's an explicit Gemara. It says, when you see the new blossoms of the fruit trees, which generally, if you're in Israel, is in the month of Nisan, Pesach time. You see the fruit trees in their blossoming stage. There's a very lengthy bracha. It's called the Birchas Ha'ilan, the brachas on the tree, or trees. Okay? And this is a real bracha. It's a real bracha. You only can say it once a year, and it should be said every year. Ideally, the bracha should be said on multiple qualifying trees. In other words, two trees that are fruit trees, fruit-bearing trees, let's say apple trees, would be very good. And you make the bracha on that. So if you go to Eretz Yisrael, or you go to New York in Borough Park, you know, they got these huge signs. I remember even when I was in Yeshiva in Cleveland, that the campus used to be a farm. So there's lots of trees, and it was a huge sign. I mean, like this big, with the bracha next to the tree. So everybody would make the bracha on the tree over there. And in Eretz Yisrael, you see this everywhere. And in New York, like in Borough Park, you'll see this often, although there's not a lot of trees in Borough Park. That's why we have to find out who's got it. But like in my backyard, there's two fruit trees right there, two pear trees. I have a pear tree, and the neighbor right next to me has a pear tree. So there's two pear trees. And you go and make the bracha. And have you got fruit trees in your house? Okay. So now everyone can go to Hindi's house. So it has to be a fruit tree. Can't be a regular tree. It has to be a fruit tree. And this bracha should be made in the month of Nisan. However, you're going to have a problem making the bracha in the month of Nisan if you live in Toronto, because it's not likely, especially this year, Nisan begins in the middle of March. Rosh Chodesh Nisan is about March 15th. That means the month of Nisan ends approximately April 15th. I doubt you're going to see fruit blossoms at that point in time. In Eretz Yisrael, no problem. But here not. So therefore, we say that you have even later. It says the month of Nisan because that's generally when it is in Israel, but otherwise not. So wait until you see that. In Toronto, you'd have to probably be more May, coming closer to Shavuos is more for that, where you see those blossoms and you make the bracha. If you didn't make the bracha the first time you saw it, you can make it upon subsequent sightings. And you can say it as long as, how long do you have? The latest, as, until the fruits begin to actually develop. If you're really seeing fruits already there, and they're pretty much developed, then it's too late. But if the blossoms are there, or just the buds are still there, you can make the bracha. This bracha is made on Shabbos and on holidays. It's a long bracha that's in the Siddur. Let's see if I can find it here. One second. Let's see how good this app is. Brachas Aria, Brachas Amin. Well, let's try this one here. Here it is. Here it is. The following blessing is to be said once a year in the month of Nisan. I said it doesn't have to be Nisan. When seeing a fruit tree in the first stages of blossoming. So this is the bracha. Baruch, it's in the Arat Scroll Siddur. Baruch atah Hashem al-Galam, shelo chisar ba'olomo davar. That there's nothing lacking in God's world. Ubaravo, and he created in it, brios, tovos, nice created things, good created, v'ilanos tovim, and good trees, lahanos bahem b'nei adam, that mankind should take pleasure from. In other words, we're saying, see, Hashem could have made a world without nice-smelling trees. It would have been a fine world without it, right? You could have fruits growing, and the tree doesn't have to smell nice. But you see, Hashem wants everything to be so beautiful. So he wants, even when you go to the tree should even smell nice. And more than that, here's another point. You don't really need to have fruits at all to live. You could have protein. Why do you have to have fruits? But no, Hashem wants to give you the best of everything. So when do you get that feeling? Get that feeling when you see them all in their blossom state, and you don't have to smell it. It doesn't have to give off a smell, but it's just beautiful. I mean, you do get a little impressed. You always know when Shavuos is coming, especially when I walk to Shul, and I always, from Spring Gate, where the dead end, and it goes on to Campbell. Remember when you go there, and there's all those lilacs over there? You know when it's Shavuos. I can close my eyes and know when it's Shavuos. You're just overcome by all those blossoms. It's a very nice sight. And you should acknowledge that by making this bracha. And you can make it. There's all kinds of mystical things to this that we're not going to get into. But there's this whole idea, well, you were last yesterday in the class, this idea of the lost souls that find themselves in these trees. Souls that, for whatever reason, didn't really make the cut yet, they haven't gained their entrance into Olam Haba, so they're relegated to go into trees to wait to be released. And when you make this bracha, it releases those souls to a place where they belong. You make a tikkun on them. That's on a mystical level. But it's nice to just have something to say. But the pasha thing is, it's just a nice sight, and it's once a year. You should make the bracha. But there's a lot of things going on, and it was well known that Hasidic rebbes would take a minion of guys. And they would. This was usually like a Cholamoid type of trip. In Eretz Yisrael, it's for sure is a Cholamoid trip. But you go over there, and they have they make a big. There's a whole there's a whole many chapters of Tehillim. They say it's a whole big thing. They stand there for an hour, and they really have all these great kavanas that they're trying to release souls. This is for great people who are doing great things. But just to know, it's not just a. Bracha. It's a lot to it spiritually. So for us common people, we'll be satisfied with you make the bracha and you show your appreciation of Hashem, notwithstanding all the mystical things that are going on as well at that time. Okay? So that is a genuine... So when you have these kinds of... you're looking for a healthy family outings, you say, oh, we're going to make a bracha on the trees. You know, together with other things, because children don't get too excited about that. But part of that is you make a bracha on the trees. That could maybe be, you know, when you go to Niagara Falls, is we're going to see some brachas over there as well. Okay, so that's that special bracha. Moving on. Now, we're going to go a section out, blessings on natural phenomena. Okay, Hashem does a lot of interesting things that take your breath away. And the rabbi said we should make brachas for these things. So this is fairly simple. We can go through this fairly quickly. First, some general rules. So we're going to start with the natural phenomena, let's say mountains or deserts or all kinds of things. So let's see. So the general rule is you should make the bracha standing, because again, unless you're eating, brachas, you're saying Hashem's name, should be said standing, number one. Number two, you have to actually see it with your eyeballs, and you're really seeing something that's there, as opposed to an IMAX film. Now, I'm not denying an IMAX film can be way more breathtaking when they show you these vast expanses. It really is. Sometimes you got to close your eyes. You get dizzy from seeing it. But that doesn't count because it's not the real thing. All right? So whatever, that's not going to work. TV, you know, what's that network? What channel? National Geographic. You know, they show you amazing. No, it's on TV. Doesn't count. Right? So therefore, now it could be said if you see through a telescope, because that's like glasses. We'll see in a minute where that would fit in. And if you're in doubt if you should make a bracha or not, you make the bracha without saying Hashem's name. If it's not sure, you should still recognize, but instead of saying Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam, just say Baruch with the ending. Okay, let's give some examples. Mountains or deserts. Okay, if you go to a desert and it's a breathtaking desert, for example, if you go to Joshua Tree National Park, which is in Eastern California, if you're looking for a kosher vacation where you don't have to worry about sneeze issues and things like that, so it's a national park, it's got these incredible boulders. The boulder is a mountain. And as you drive down, you see like tons of these huge boulders, and they're orange colored, and you never see something like that. So that, and people climb it. It's the mountain climbers, they do that. But so like something like that, or you see the Rocky Mountains or, Swiss Alps or things like that. And it takes, now the very important thing, it's a personal thing. It's got to take your breath away. If you go, it's nothing. So again, I think women would make this bracha more often than men. And that's no problem. So, or you see a desert, a big desert where it's also an incredible sight. So you'd make the bracha on that. And the bracha is Baruch Hashem Kalkalam Oseh Ma'aseh Vireshis. Again, not Bereshis, Vireshis. Again, it's a common mistake. And that's the bracha. When you see it, you say that bracha, that Oseh Ma'aseh, that God makes the world, works of creation. Now, you should not make the bracha of an airplane. Some of this guy says, and over, if you look on your left side now, you'll see the wonderful side. You're too far away to make the bracha. You got to be like mamish close, and you see that expanse in front of you. It's just for miles and miles, it's just desert. It just blows me away if it does. You know, or this mountain range. You know, you go to, I'm forgetting all these things, what they're called Yeah, the Grand Canyon. You know, if you go to the Grand, you remember the Grand Canyon? Mm-hmm. You go to Utah, there's like five national parks over there. Each one is more amazing than the next one. There's other national parks where there's rock formations, just unbelievable, like from miles and miles on the drop. So again, if you're the kind of person who gets taken away by that, so you'd make the bracha Oseh Ma'aseh Bereshis. And this bracha is only good for 30 days. In other words, if you see it today and you make the bracha, and you're going to, let's say you're visiting the Grand Canyon and you're staying at a cottage for a couple days, first time you see you make the bracha, next time you don't say it, unless 30 days have passed and the inspiration has left, then the next time you'd make the bracha again. All right, that is mountains or deserts. Okay, next. This one is a little bit more practical. But I'm saying this is a good thing to know, because when you go on vacation, you know, it's hard to keep up the ruchnias on a vacation. So if you know, well, we're going because we're going to be able to make a bracha. So that already uplifts the whole vacation. So you say, we're going to the national parks because there's brachas we can make every day. We can make another bracha because another natural phenomena we're going to see. right? So therefore, you definitely make. I think in Wyoming, what's in Wyoming is another national. Yosemite. Whatever. There's a national park that there's a. Oh, it's called Old Geyser, where this water. What's that?
Yellowstone.
Yellowstone. Yeah, good. You got it. Yellowstone. It's a shoots up a crow over that could be a brach on that too. Again, it's not a hard and fast rule. If you are really blown away by it, you'd make a brach on that. Now let's move on to thunder and lightning. So if you see lightning in a storm, you make that same bracha. That's a good bracha to remember. You have a lot of occasions. Oseh maaseh v'reishis. Okay. Now, you don't have to exactly see the bolt. Sometimes you get to see the bolt. And when you see the bolt, almost always, you always hear someone go, wow! It's just, you ever see the bolt? Mamish, the bolt! You go, wow! But you don't have to see the bolt. As long as you see the horizon, it's just illuminated. You've seen the impact of the lightning. You say, Osa Masa Breshis. And we know, generally speaking, if your eyes are open, you see the lightning before you hear the thunder, because it takes time for sound to travel. So you see the lightning, and then you count how many seconds, and you know how far away the storm is, right? Now, thunder gets a separate bracha, because thunder is a scarier sight. So the ending of the bracha is shekocho, that his power... Ugvuraso, again, his force. Ugvuraso and his power, mole olam, fills the world. Now, it doesn't matter which one you saw first. Let's say you missed the lightning, and now you hear the thunder, and then comes the lightning. Those are two brachas you make once during a storm. Right? Doesn't matter if it storms for a whole day. Doesn't matter. If it's the same storm, you only make the bracha once. If, for example, you have it on occasion, in the morning you have a storm, then everything clears out, and then late at night you have another storm, then you make another bracha, because it's a totally different storm, right? Now, what if you're fortunate or whatever, that simultaneously, that's when it's really scary, that the bolt of lightning and the thunder's at the same time, right? Sometimes it's rare, but sometimes it happens, like the storm just comes to you right away, then you only make one bracha. Because it came at the same time, Ose Mase Vereshis. And again, that should be there's the bracha there. Whoop. There it is, right at the top. Yep. Ose Mase. See, there's no dot in the base? No dot in the base. Everyone says Bereshis. It's not correct. Ose Mase Vereshis. I'm telling you, everybody says it wrong. Everybody says it wrong. All right, and the next one we said for the earthquake, for the thunder, Shekocho Ugvuraso Mole Olam. Okay, now let's move on to the next one. Astronomical phenomena. The blessing Osa Masa Breshis is set upon observing a comet, a shooting star, or a meteor shower. Again, that again is very subjective, you know. Where you're really seeing it, and it really is breathtaking. I don't think as often we would make brachas. I just want to know, maybe there's some of you who like going to the planetarium, you know, and looking at these things, and you get blown away by a comet shower or meteor shower. You know, usually you can hardly even see it, you know, a shooting star, you know. Well, you have to look, oh, that's a shooting star. It's usually that not that exciting. But, you know, let's say they have the Northern Lights. What's the Latin term? Boris Aurelius, whatever it is. If that is an amazing sight for you, then you make the bracha Osa Masa Bereshis. And again, you would not bake the bracha if you see that same phenomena within 30 days a second time. Okay? Even if there's multiple comets and multiple shooting stars and one night, just one bracha over the whole thing. And therefore, if you're using a telescope and you really are blown away by what you see, then you'd make the bracha. Some people aren't. Okay, but if you're just going out and you're just looking out and you're in the country and it's a starry night, go, wow, not enough to make a bracha on that, even though it's a nice sight. There's nothing unusual about that. Okay, if you sit and look and you see a meteor shower, you go, wow, okay, then I guess maybe make the bracha. Always ask the question, you do not make a bracha on an eclipse. No bracha on an eclipse. There's many reasons for that. One reason is because usually mystically it's a bad sign. There's a debate if it's really a bad sign or not, but it's also something that is always coming. You know, you can even predict when it's happening. It doesn't get that exciting, but we don't make a bracha on an eclipse. Okay, next. What if you're fortunate to be where there's an earthquake? Okay. Or really fierce winds, a hurricane. What if you couldn't, you know, you went to Florida and you picked the wrong week, and there is a real hurricane over there coming, and you're in shelter? Clearly, you are seeing the acts of God, and you'd make the bracha Osem Ma'aseh V'Reishis for this as well. Okay, now, another one that is more common, that you can make this bracha, over natural bodies of water. If you see an impressive natural river or a sea, you make the bracha Osem Ma'aseh V'Reishis. So, let's see. It's got to be impressive. Like the Gemara says, like the Mediterranean Sea. If you see the Mediterranean Sea, you see a massive river that is an impressive body of water. You make the bracha Osem Ma'aseh V'Reishis. Again, it depends how impressed you are. Now, upon seeing the ocean, so this is when you go to Miami or you go to the Bahamas, you clearly make a bracha here, no question about it. You say, Sha'asa, that he made, S. Hayam Hagadol, the great ocean. So that's you go to Florida. Maybe you go to Florida. So put that at the first time you go. You have to make sure, a man has to make sure there's no ladies on the beach. You can't make the bracha when all those ladies are there. But you make that bracha. And where do we have that? There it is right over here. Sha'asa es Hayam Hagadol. Some say it's the Mediterranean Sea, but not everybody says that. But that this is for sure... on the ocean, you for sure make Sha'asa Yom Gadol. Okay, so if you go to Eretz Yisrael, you're definitely gonna, if you're by the Mediterranean, you'll definitely make that bracha of Osem Ma'aseh V'Reishis. Okay, now, same thing, the 30-day rule, as we said before, if you see another body of water on a different day, let's say you went to the saw the Atlantic Ocean today, and then you went cross country, saw the Pacific Ocean a few days later, you'd make another bracha. This is a different ocean. Again, if you live in the Bahamas, you wouldn't make this bracha because it's not impressive. If you live in Florida, if you're born and raised in Florida, you'd never make the bracha because you're just not impressed by it. The idea being you're impressed by it. Could be if you go to Florida often, you may not be impressed by it either. So again, it depends on how you feel. I mean, usually crashing waves is an impressive sight, and you would make the bracha. Okay, next, rainbows. I have to be careful now. Upon seeing a complete rainbow, that's the key word. That means from horizon to horizon. Not just a little half rainbow. It's got to be the full thing. Now, of course, there could be houses blocking it at the level of the horizon, but you could see it's a full rainbow. So you make the bracha that starts with the words Zocher Habris. And I'm sure it's going to have it here. There it is. Okay. Baruch atah Hashem Elokeinu Olam, Zocher Habris. You remember the covenant made with Noach. And you're trustworthy in keeping the covenant, and v'kayam b'maro, and it exists by your word. You're basically saying, as we've said in the past, Hashem said, really, with the Jewish people, if the people aren't so good, I should destroy them, but I won't. But the rainbow reminds me not to do it. So it's not a good sign, but therefore it's a bracha to remember that Hashem is deciding not to destroy the world. And maybe we should do a little bit of tshuva. Now, this does not made on a natural rainbow. If you go to the Niagara Falls, there's a rainbow there all the time. That's a natural rainbow. That doesn't count. It has to be a real rainbow that obviously is going to come from a storm afterwards where you're going to find that rainbow. You don't have a lot of time to make that bracha because the rainbows don't stick around very long. Now, it's interesting, I've never seen this, but if you'd see more than one rainbow during a storm, you see one rainbow and then it goes away and then the storm continues, you'd make another bracha for multiple rainbows. You shouldn't look excessively at a rainbow. Just look at it a little bit, make your bracha, and finished. Most opinions say it's inappropriate to inform other people about the rainbow. You don't text them, wow, it's a great rainbow. Go out and check it out right now. Because since it's a bad sign, it's almost like you're speaking Lashon Hara about people that say, whoa, look how terrible we are. Sharon wants to destroy us. Take a look. It's better not to tell other people about that. So again, this is something, that's why I suggest, you know, the problem with some of these brachas is, you see, there's supposed to be a bracha. What's the bracha? Bracha Shemah, I don't remember the bracha. So that's why you all got cell phones. You see, you all got cell phones, so get the Siddur app, right? And just tap, 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 and the bracha comes up. The Siddur app also comes with the English translation if you want a different one for a few more dollars. But anyway, so you gotta, or you carry a Siddur with you at all times. With that, you don't have a lot of time to make the bracha. Quite often, you see the rainbow, I'm gonna run to the house, get the Siddur, come out with the Siddur, you go up, boom, the rainbow's gone. You lost the chance to make the bracha. Okay, now these, the next few brachas are, it's just good to know them, and there may be situations where you make the bracha. Okay, and again, it's more of being, there's two aspects here. You know, there's making the bracha, that's the halachic point, and then there's just being mindful of what kind of world you're living in. That's real intense. So even if you're not making a bracha, but being mindful of this. So this next section is of animals and trees. If you see a strikingly beautiful person, animal, bird, or tree for the first time, you make the bracha, we'll see, shekacha lo ba'olamo, that Hashem makes these kinds of things in this world. Okay, so now, again, it's a very subjective thing. What do you call a beautiful creature? Okay, so, I mean, again, in the second world talks a lot about this, they say, you know, wow, this person is a really beautiful person. They're just so attractive and so this, it just takes your breath away by that person's beauty. Okay, you know, some people get blown away. Wow, I never seen somebody like that. You know, they have, there's this woman who made herself look like Barbie, right? She looks like a Barbie doll, right? But spent years, like, she happened to be born looking like Barbie, so now you have to put on extra makeup. This is, you look like Barbie. I don't know. It seems that there's a lot. The news talks about a lot. I don't know what it is. I guess some people are impressed by it. I don't know. But if you see something, so therefore, it's a very subjective bracha. Like, how often is that really going to happen? So it depends on, you know, it depends on the person. And obviously, a man should not make this bracha on a woman, because you're not supposed to be looking at a woman like this. So it's not, you know, you ask your husband, hey, how come you were hanging out with all this woman? Oh, I was trying to make a bracha. Not going to fly. But someone says, just gorgeous. Like, okay, you know, but it's very subjective. But now we can get to another one where it also is not so easy. Now, remember, in the olden days, there were no zoos. So imagine the first time you see an elephant. Right? The first time you saw an elephant, whoa, that's a huge, you used to look at cats and dogs. Whoa, an elephant, a zebra, a monkey. I mean, it is a very unusual creature. And it would, you know, so we get another bracha for that one. It's called Mishaneh Habrios. You make all kinds of different types of animals. Again, this is a subjective bracha. And how often could you really make it? You see, look what I said, next point. Upon viewing multiple exotic animals in a zoo, only one blessing is said, having in mind the others. But nowadays, you know, I question whether you can make this bracha at all. Because children, when they're 2 years old, you're showing them pictures of monkeys and this and that. You take them to the zoo when they're 2 years old. I think nowadays nobody gets excited to see a monkey. So when did it really happen? You imagine if you lived in Poland, you know, or even you lived in America, and they, before they had zoos. Mm-hmm. Let's go back to the 1800s. That's when why the circus was so popular. Why was the circus popular? Because no one saw an elephant. No one saw a monkey. So the circus took with them the elephants and the monkeys, and that was a big deal. It was like a traveling zoo. That's really what it was. Can you imagine now you're a Jew living somewhere in the middle of Sticks, America. You've never seen a monkey in your life, and you go and see a monkey. Oh, wow, that's very, they are unusual creatures. take a bracha. So therefore, but nowadays, since, you know, I don't know if people get blown away by that. So again, very subjective. Maybe if somebody, you know, you never went to the zoo and you now go to Kruger National Park and you see a whole bunch of buffalo, well, whatever. See a bunch of a group going across, go, wow, you know. Yeah, maybe you'd make the bracha on that, you know. But again, since we see it so often, and as children already you see it, so it, kind of the excitement. So again, it's subject. If you really say, wow, that's an amazing sight, they're so unusual, the animals, okay, you'd make the bracha Mishana HaBrios.
But only once in the wild.
Again, you know, depending, well, once every 30 days, well, again, it would wear off. Your impression of it wouldn't, you know, if you saw a big elephant today, right? I don't know if 30 days from now you'd be that excited to see it.
No, but let's say, for example, you see an elephant, and then you see a cheetah, and then you
and another, say it if it's all time. On the same, if you know you're going to see them all in one day, you make one bracha for everything. But if you're going to be, today I saw this, and 3 days later I saw that, then it'd be another bracha. There's also another interesting bracha. What about strange-looking people? You know, Guinness Book of Records. There is a man who's 8 foot tall. Right? Right? If you'd see an 8 foot tall person, you would probably, you know, look again. So again, you make this bracha, Mishaneh HaBrios, that Hashem makes strange creatures. Right? That Hashem could make it within his world such a thing. You know, what if you saw, again, what if you actually saw Siamese twins? That would be an unusual thing to see. But again, I think we're already, it's not so exciting because you've seen it in the news, you've seen this, that, so that takes it away from you. So it'd have to be something that would be striking you about the unusualness of that person. Now, if you saw a two-headed person, you'd get, for the first time, I think you'd get excited. No? Wouldn't it be taken aback? You walk in the street at Sobeys and all of a sudden, person with two heads, then you'd make the bracha for sure. Again, these are not common, and all the rules of 30 days applies to that as well. And obviously, you wouldn't do it in front of the person to embarrass them. Hey, you look really weird. I can make a bracha on you. You know, you make it a little discreet, please. And now another interesting halacha, again, a lot of these laws have fallen out because of all our technological advances. But in real life, if you see a close friend or relative they have not seen for 30 days, and you haven't heard from them, you didn't know they existed. Okay, that's a typo. Shouldn't be over there. I don't know how that got in there. Okay. You should recite the bracha Shechayon. Now again, when did this bracha apply? Okay, go back to Poland in the 1600s. Okay, you had a daughter, you married off the daughter, where did she go? She went to live where the husband is. The husband lived out of town. You did not see from your daughter for years. You don't even know, there's no, maybe male, maybe. You don't know, what's that? She could be dead, she'd be alive, whatever. And then you come and see her, you would really be happy to see her. Right? You weren't texting, you weren't phoning, you don't know what happened to that person. So that's the real halacha was there. Somebody you really like, a good friend, a relative, you'd make the bracha. But in practice, right, this is only said to someone who's very close, who makes you very happy, like a parent, a child, or a spouse, or maybe best friend. But the problem, and not the problem, the challenge with modern technology, it's not like you're going to make the bracha. Because since you're Skyping everybody every day, you know what's going on with everybody every day. So therefore, the bracha kind of falls out of use. Right? Now, if it's been over a year since you saw the person, then you'd make the bracha Mechayei HaMesim, who brings the dead back to life. Because after a year, you forget about somebody. And you, who knows if they're alive. Again, it's hard to make this bracha nowadays from that. So you could always just say, so what do? But you're happy. Let's say your sister who lives in Australia, and you really only actually see her once every 5 years. So you could always just say, Baruch, without Hashem's name, Shechayana v'kiyamana v'igyanu lazman hazeh. Don't say Hashem's name. I'm happy. You know, you're still bad. Are you really that happy? I mean, not really, because you've been texting her and messaging her and Skyping her almost every week. But, you know, you could still say, without Hashem's name, you could always say any of these things. You can always say any of these things. Okay, Now, here's an interesting bracha that few people know, and I don't even know it's going to be in this app. Upon seeing a friend who has recovered from a life-threatening illness, the person could have died, and the person survived, it's an Aramaic bracha. We don't invoke Hashem's name, but the Aramaic bracha is, that's why you should look on the website, it's all here. Brich Rachmana, that's Aramaic, blessed is the Almighty. Di Yahavach Lan, who gave to you life. Velo Yahavach Laafra, and didn't turn you to dust. In other words, you know, blessed Hashem, who gave you back your life and didn't turn you into dust. Somebody was really sick, major sickness, a person should have died. And Baruch Hashem, he didn't. So you would make that bracha because you're really appreciating what Hashem does. Okay, here's an interesting one. Not often you can make this bracha. If you would see 600,000 Jews at one point, at the same time, Baruch Atah Mechalam, Chacham Harazim, Hashem is the wise one who knows everything that's hidden in everybody's mind. In other words, we know that there's 600,000. 600,000 is a very important number in many ways, because we say those are the 600,000 root souls that were at Sinai. Everyone who exists today comes from those root souls. The Talmud also says there's really 600,000 different types of faces. It's limited to 600,000 faces. In other words, there's bound to be someone who has exactly your face. Exactly your face. There's only 600,000 prototypes. Okay? And there's people who think alike. 600,000 different ways of thinking. So when you see them all, you've probably seen everything that Hashem is able to put out on the table. So Chacham HaRazim, he's the wise man of hidden secrets. In other words, how often are you going to see 600,000 Jews at one place? Guess I'll have to wait till Mashiach. Even the funerals for the great Gedolim only get up to about 300,000. So 600,000, that would be, I guess, when Mashiach comes. And it's good to know there's such a bracha. Again, if you could be impressed by seeing 100,000 Jews, you could think about this bracha, but you can't make this bracha. Okay, another bracha. These are all questionable brachas. If you see great leaders, powerful people, it's within their hands to have people live or die. Okay? For example, it's a non-Jewish. Let's say a non-Jewish ruler who has the possibility where life and death is in his hands. Either, let's say, saw the guy from Korea, what's his name?
Kim
Jong-un. Kim Jong-un, right? Always sounds like Chinese foods, these guys. I can never respect them. Just the way they sound like the second course of a meal. Kim Jong-un. So, as much of a rush he is, if you would see him, boy, would you make this bracha. Because he just, if his uncle slept during his speech, he killed him. Okay, this guy, you know. But also, if someone can pardon somebody. So if you would see the President of the United States, no matter even though what you may say about him, but he can pardon people. As a matter of fact, he pardoned a turkey yesterday. But he can pardon people. They're supposed to die. That's a lot about Queen of England, right? So we make a bracha, Baruch Hashem, Nosan Hashem gave mikvodo, from his honor, lebasar vadam, to those of flesh and blood. In other words, God has power, and you see, God has given some power. In other words, you get a little appreciation. You can imagine the power that the president has. Imagine how much more power Hashem has. It's like a kal v'chomer. Imagine this guy, I'm in the presence of somebody who can get somebody killed like that, or better yet, can have a person like that taken off death. That's a very powerful person. Where does that idea come? Hashem gave it to them. So you recognize that power. Now, there is a debate if this can be made seeing female rulers, because you're really not supposed to give such a good look, as it were, but women can for sure make it. So, upon seeing a state governor or someone who has the power to pardon people sentenced to death, that's really a little bit different. I mean, he's not the president, but he's the governor. The governor can that too. So, therefore, we make the bracha without saying Hashem's name. Again, if you saw the person in 30 days, you don't make the bracha, etc., with those laws. So, I guess, I don't know if you plan on seeing Trump or these guys, but if you do see them, there would be such a bracha. I guess if you would go for the inauguration, and you get a good enough look, you'd make the bracha. You'd make the bracha if you'd be that way. I don't know if the Prime Minister of Canada has that power. I don't know. Can the Prime Minister has a power of pardoning? Okay, you could have a research project now. If you see the prime minister, see, notwithstanding what you think of the person, it has to do with his power. I don't know if a prime minister can pardon people. I just don't know what the halachas. I'm not a Canadian citizen, so I didn't have to learn these halachas. But if he did, then there'd be an issue for that. Now, how about outstanding Torah scholars? What if you see a Godel Hador? Well, there's a lot of debate. What's considered an outstanding Torah scholar? But if you would, and nowadays, you think you'd even get close to see them. But that's another story. But let's say if you go to the Aguda convention, which we went to last year, which is this coming Shabbos, you do see a lot of great rabbis are up there. So there is a bracha, shecholak, that Hashem gave, mechach maso, from his wisdom, li rei of, to his friends, as it were. I mean, in other words, a great scholar has this kind of wisdom. So, again, this would have to be a world-renowned scholar who excels in wisdom and is truly God-fearing. So, again, it's not so simple because there's a lot of great rabbis, but is he really a world-renowned scholar? So, like, the only one I could say for sure, like if you saw Rav Chaim Kanievsky in B'nai Brak, yes, you would make that bracha. Good luck trying to get in to see him. You'd have to have a lot of connections. But if you saw someone like that, you'd make the bracha. So I guess, you know, if you're at a convention where there's big, big rabbis, you'd make the bracha. If we're not sure how big they are, you would just omit the words Baruch Atah Hashem and just say Baruch Shecholak Mechak Masali Rav. Again, it's all being aware of great things that Hashem does. Now another thing, places of miracles. If you ever experienced a miracle and were saved from imminent danger, let's say you were hiking somewhere and you fell off the cliff, and you walked off with just a broken leg. And you should have died. Well, a miracle happened. Whenever you walk past that place, you make a bracha. She'asali neis b'makom hazeh. You made a bracha to me in this place. Okay? Every time you have to do that. Now, let's say you're in the place where your parents had this miracle. Then you modify the bracha. You're basically saying, you know, Hashem, you made a bracha for my parents in this place, or my whatever in this place. Could be, let's say your father had a miracle. Whenever you see this place, there's something miraculous about this place. As a matter of fact, if you see a place, now that's pretty much something you can really do, if it really happened, right? Now again, you know, you have to, like, it's like an instant miracle, not like, let's say the person had a bad sickness, and they thought they were going to die. They went to the hospital and they cured him. You can't really say the miracle happened in this place. You know what I'm saying? It's that the miracle happened. It's like, well, it was a drawn out miracle. It really took months and months and months to leave. We're talking about straight out miracle. You know, let's say face. I mean, people have told me that somebody, one of the older families from South Africa, one of them, he told me this whole story. I always ask South Africans, like, why did you decide to come? Like, what was the story? Yes, you have the story. That's it. We had enough. We're leaving, right? So this guy is telling me the story that he was once, I don't remember all the details, he was walking down the street and he had a bag with him and like five black fellows jump on him with knives and everything. This is it. This is it. They're going to kill him. They're going to kill him. And he was a strong guy, though. And he just went and he did this and he took this and he hit this one, he hit that one. And it was like, and I said, how did you, it was five of them. They're twisted. I don't know. I just did it and it was like a miracle. Right? So that's the kind of thing. Whatever he would, I don't know if he would ever want to go back. You go back to that street, you make the bracha of that. You know, the guy's got the gun. He's ready to shoot you, you know? And he shoots it and he missed at 5 foot range. You know, he's ready to shoot you. All of a sudden, the police came and he leaves. You know? Okay. So then you'd make a bracha for that. Now, what if you go to a place where the entire Jewish people experience a bracha? Like the Sea of Reeds. Or the Jordan River, where the entire people cross with Joshua. Oh, we'd have to make a bracha. She'asa neis b'makom hazeh. You did a miracle of faith, but you can't make the bracha. You know why? Because we don't know exactly where in the Jordan River it happened. Even you go with a good tour guide, he'll say, we know it was somewhere around here, give or take 5 or 10 miles. Well, then we don't know exactly where it happened, so we can't make the bracha. All right? So therefore, it becomes falls out. So the bracha really only applies if there's really an actual place where you know there was such a bracha. You know, I would say anybody, a Holocaust survivor who goes back to Bergen-Belsen, and come out of it. Anybody who came out, it was a miracle. So they for sure should make a bracha. And their children, if they'd visit Bergen-Belsen, if you know it's that barracks that your parents were in or grandparents, you'd make a bracha. They did a miracle for them in that place. There's no way any Jew who survived was a miracle. Okay? And we're going to have to stop here. I think we have one more week of brachas where we have to talk about cemeteries, synagogues, and another issue of making 100 brachos a day. Next week, for sure, we'll finish the topic of brachos. And I don't know yet which the next topic will be, weekday topics.
Thank you, Ray.
All righty.